Greetings and salutations, everyone. Welcome to the Delta Flyers with Tom and Harry as we journey through episodes of Star Trek Voyager. Your two hosts along this journey are my fellow Voyager actor, who also in 2004 to 2005 directed four episodes of the television series Summerland.
Oh, Robert, I didn't know where you were going.
And myself, your favorite forever ensign, Garrett Wong. Remember, you can get the full version of this podcast by signing up to become a patron at patreon.com/the Delta Flyers. I always love watching your reaction.
I'm like, what are you going to pull out of the hat this time?
I know, you have no clue.
Summerland. I love Summerland.
Tell me about that briefly.
It was a show on the WB back when, you know, Dawson's Creek was on the WB and all those teenage soapy kind of shows.
Yeah.
And this one was set in this fictional town of Summerland, California, where it was a surf town. And it starred Lori Loughlin, who was on Full House and, you know, has done a thousand things.
Where'd you film at?
We filmed at Raleigh Hollywood Studios. So right across the street from Paramount Studios.
Yeah. But what about the beach scenes? Where did you guys film those at?
We filmed those at Leo Carrillo.
Leo Carrillo State Beach.
Very popular beach.
Is that where Baywatch filmed a lot of their stuff too, probably? Leo Carrillo?
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But in terms of, okay, let's say how many days?
Wait, speaking of Baywatch, that's so funny you say that, because Carmen Electra came on Summerland. And I remember I was filming a beach scene and Carmen Electra wanted to wear her Uggs in the beach. She was supposed to be out for a run or something, like barefoot run on the beach.
Yeah.
And I was like, it just doesn't fit this show. And she goes, I wore these all the time on Baywatch. Like, this is what we did. And I was like, yeah, Uggs on the beach. Like, this is a more kind of natural, you know, not fashion-y. It was supposed to be down to earth.
So you vetoed her.
She was mad at me too. Carmen Electra was mad.
Like, how mad?
She was mad. She was mad.
Did she call you names?
I can't remember. She was mad.
Yeah, I never met her, but I was behind her in line at the check-in at Hard Rock Hotel in Vegas back in the day when I was going in the late 90s. She was in line. And what I realized was she is not tall at all.
No, I mean, tiny.
Carmen Electra is hobbit
sized. 4'10". Yeah. If she's 5 feet, I'd be shocked.
I would say 4'9".
4'8". Or something. 4'9".
Yeah. I was shocked. I was like, oh my goodness.
So, yeah.
Okay. But anyway, other than that experience, you enjoyed it.
I love Summerland. Aww. I was heartbroken when that show went off. Cause I was, I came in late in season one and then did one episode and then I did three episodes in their season two, but then that was it. They only did two seasons.
And it sounds like they liked you too. They enjoyed your.
Yeah. It was a good fit.
Yeah.
It was a good fit.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well.
Well, thank you for sharing that with everyone and myself. Sure. I always enjoy
good times, good memories.
All right, let's talk about this week's episode.
Yes, let's do.
Yeah, so this week we are watching and recapping the episode Inside Man.
Okay.
Inside Man. So let's go and watch this episode, and we will come right back with our recap and discussion of Inside Man. And for our Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material. Hey, everyone, we're back from watching Inside Man.
And yes, we are.
Not all the men stayed inside.
There was not even a planet with people that had to stay inside.
No, but
we were just basically on the ship. But we got to see Earth a little bit.
We did.
I got to see my father.
You got to see Admiral Paris. Admiral Paris.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's start off with our poetry synopsis. And
let's do.
Yeah,
let's
here we go. Here's my haiku for Inside Man.
Okay.
Hollow Reg arrives. Ferengi greed is to blame.
Escape pod empty.
Oh, haikus. Haikus are so nice. They're just simple. And
yeah.
Okay, here we go with our limerick. Not quite as simple, but we'll see. And there's some imperfections in my rhymes, but it'll have to do.
Explain right. it, Robbie. Just do yeah, it.
It's a limerick. Here we go. Yeah.
Okay.
For Inside Man.
Mm-hmm.
Barclay has created a hollow composite to help Voyager get out of the Delta Quadrant. Harry wants to go home a lot. The Ferengi plan starts to rot. And the lesson is that cheaters never profit.
Oh, look at that.
So it's like the, yeah, composite and profit are good, but my quadrant rhyme was close, not, you know, but
I'm going to let it go.
It's like horseshoes.
It is.
Close is good enough. Okay. So this episode, Inside Man, written not by Brian Fuller, like I thought, or who did you think wrote it? Ken Biller?
Biller. Yeah.
No, it's Robert Daugherty. It's Bob Daugherty.
I was going to say that name. I was like, no, I'm not going to go with Daugherty this time.
You love Daugherty.
I love Daugherty.
I know. And I don't remember Daugherty as well as you. And I definitely didn't remember that he wrote as many scripts late in the show as this. He wrote a lot of scripts.
Sure did.
So Bob Daugherty wrote it. Alan Craker directed.
I got that job. Yeah. Nice.
All right, guest stars, we'll bang through them. So Dwight Schultz, again, I love him. Mm-hmm. His performance is always great. We've talked about him before. Mm-hmm. Richard Hurd, my father.
Your pops.
They were both in the Pathfinder episode previously on our show.
Have you ever referred to him as Papa Paris?
Papa Paris.
Papa Ooh, Paris. I like Papa nice. Paris. Yeah. Nice. Okay.
We have Richard McGonagall as Pete Harkins. Yeah. That's Dwight Schultz's good buddy. Boss. He was also in Pathfinder. So again, another repeat.
Mm-hmm.
One of our new actors is Charisse Baker Bernard, who played Leosa.
Oh, she kind of reminds me of like a blonde Nicole DeBoer from Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
As Redax.
She was great. Charisse Baker Bernard. Her first job was a TV movie in 1983 called Bill on His Own with Mickey Rooney. Mickey Rooney played, I think, like a special needs older man who needed to be on his own or something. So that's what it looked like.
The minute you said that title, I just thought Bill Shatner. The entire film is about Bill Shatner on his own.
Bill
on his own.
That was her first job. We have our three Ferengi. And it was hard to tell which was which in those scenes, to be quite honest. I did.
Okay.
I could tell who Nunk was because he was the boss.
Nunk
so I could
was
sometimes
the main,
tell. Yeah, he was the main guy. So Nunk was played by Michael William Rivkin. And his first job was in 1989 in a B movie called The Freeway Maniac. That was his first job.
The Freeway Maniac?
Yeah. It sounds like
from the same people that brought you Toxic Avenger, Trauma Films.
Exactly.
Freeway Maniac.
Our other two Ferengi were Yegi and Gegis. Yegi was Christopher Nyman. His first job was in 1998, right before this, not long before this, on the X-Files. He was the first carpool man was his character. And Gegis was played by Frank Corsentino. And his first job, he was by far the oldest of this Ferengi group, Frank Corsentino. His first job was on Gilligan's Island in 1965. Yes.
Okay, well, then that would have been Nunk then. Nunk is the oldest of all of them. You can tell that there's one elder
statesman
amongst
the
three. You
would think so, but that's not how he's credited.
He's not credited as Nunk?
No, that's maybe the credits got wrong.
I think they got messed up. That doesn't make sense. But
Frank
you do agree with me.
Yeah, you would think that he's the oldest one.
Right.
Frank Corsentino unfortunately passed away in 2007.
Oh.
I think he was about 65 years old, so a young man,
mm-hmm.
you know. But Gilligan's Island was his first job in 1965. That's amazing.
What role was he credited as in Gilligan's? Did it say?
He played the native. So I guess
he's one of the natives on the island that they encounter every now and then. Okay.
Yes.
Love it.
We also have, of course, Marina Sirtis playing Deanna Troi, and we all know and love her. Yeah, so there's our guest stars.
Awesome.
There you go.
Okay, so let me jump right into this. So we have an exterior space shot of Voyager moving very slowly at impulse across the screen. We have a captain's log talking about how the last month's data stream never arrived, so everyone's really looking forward to this month's data stream. We don't know the reason why last month's data stream didn't arrive, but everyone's really excited about this current data stream. Then we move to the corridor and we see Harry Kim walking down, and Paris jumps in to kind of chat with Harry about the new data stream, and he's wondering what the holdup is about.
Yeah, and Harry's got a coffee in his hand. I never see Harry with a coffee.
No, can we just talk about that very quickly? I unlike Robert Picardo, was not a fan of props. I hated props. I didn't want to hold props. I never wanted to hold. I just wanted just to be able to.
I remember that.
And my dialogue. And I just, you know, Alan's like, hey, I want Harry to hold a coffee mug while he's walking. And I'm like, oh, please don't make me do this. And I just did it because the number one thing is I don't want to match continuity if I'm drinking. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to think about that. I just want to think about the acting. I don't want to think about, oh, did I lift the cup to my mouth before I said that one line? Or did I, you know, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, it's very unusual to see you with props.
Very much so.
Yeah, you had a coffee in your hand.
Yeah.
And basically, Harry has gotten some new, you know, data stream. It just came in at 2 a.m. or something. And Tom wants his mail. Tom's like, hey.
He wants it bad.
Yeah, Tom seems to really want his mail for some reason.
For some weird reason. Yeah, he's super eager. But the holdup regarding this transmission being downloaded is because there is a very large it's a larger transmission than usual. So something is going on where the download is still happening. And I will say, after I say, trust me, and I walk into the Astrometrics, you give me this look, which is just like, whatever. You get this really funny look. I just wondered what you were doing. What were
you
doing?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't know.
Just checking with you.
Tom's always giving Harry crap. So could be over anything. Like, hurry up, dude. Come on. Yeah. Slow poke.
Fine.
I did think that this walking shot in the hallway, it obviously was done off the dolly rolling down the carpet, and it was a little bumpy.
Really?
Yeah. It felt a little
bumpy to the point of distraction.
Just a little. It had like a little chatter in it. And I wish they had used a Steadicam or something, because sometimes they would roll down the hallway with us on these walking scenes on the dolly.
Right.
But they wouldn't lay down like, you know, dolly track or boards or anything. So
why wouldn't they lay the boards down?
If you were backing up, you'd see it.
You would see that. You're right.
So, So anyway, I thought that was a little bumpy. I also thought I looked a little tired in this scene. I don't know why.
I didn't notice that. Okay. But you felt it, though.
I felt it. Yeah.
I'm sure you were dealing with, you know, the rigors of being a dad of three at that point.
I guess. Yeah. We go into Astrometrics.
Yes. Yes. Seven has discovered what has hindered the download. It's a hologram. Harry says that the transceiver wasn't designed to store photonic data, so he will have to get it out of there before it degrades. So he decides to tie the transceiver into the holodeck's pattern buffer, which freaks Seven of Nine out. She's like, hey, those are incompatible systems. What are you thinking? This is going to be fried relays left and right. But Harry doesn't care. And so he goes ahead and does it. There's a huge bang. And or Seven is annoyed. And Harry's like, but I saved the hologram. So that's what counts. That's all we wanted. You know, that's all we wanted.
Maybe that's what counts. Maybe it's all your fault. If you think about it that way,
maybe
we could have all died. But maybe Seven was right. We go to the holodeck next. Janeway's there with Harry and Seven.
Yep.
And they start up this program that Starfleet apparently has sent them. And it is Reg Barkley.
Yeah.
And he's got a whole new attitude.
Oh,
he's
yeah. Like, this is the Mr. confident
yes,
Reg, right?
Mr. Yeah. Smooth.
Ooh.
I love his line when where he goes, I am a walking, talking, interactive, problem-solving hologram.
Yes.
It was like,
yes.
Oh, Mr. Smooth is here.
Yes.
He's
even
just
more confident than the doctor, I'd say.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
But, yeah, confident and just friendly and charming and... And Dwight Schultz in this episode, I think, is fantastic.
Yeah, like, he did such a great job. And so his hologram comes up and says, oh, I've been looking forward to working with you, Harry, and Seven. Mm-hmm. And sorry that, you know, letters from home didn't get here. My program took up all the space, but you may be seeing your loved ones face to face in a few days. So that's the big, you know,
the big news
the reveal.
Is,
it's like, hey, yeah. Look at this.
So, yeah, he says in 3 days, Voyager's going to pass grid 898. We're going to pass by this red giant. He starts explaining. I love this dialogue, the way he does it, because it's very technobabble heavy.
Yeah. You're talking about after the credits, right? The credits.
Yeah, after the credits, we come back and he starts explaining, you know, that we're going to pass this grid 898 and we're going to pass this red giant. And he sort of holds his hands out.
Yeah.
And I love how he sort of used his hands to explain something that was really complicated. I could relate to, because I'm not a technobabble fan.
Right.
And I don't follow it as a viewer. I don't follow it. So having him sort of his Mr. Smooth version explaining this in like a childlike way.
Yes.
I thought was so great. I totally bought it.
So I'm going to say, instead of mansplaining, he was hand-splaining.
Yes, he was.
Which really helped
in
talking about geodesic folds. And yeah, a lot of this technobabble can turn your mind into mush and trying to understand what's going on.
If I try to listen to what he's saying, because it's a lot of it's made up. And so I just found his delivery of it was some of the best I've ever seen, just
most
for me
definitely.
To follow.
Yes, for the layman, for the average layman to understand. Yeah. But we understand at the very end of this that Janeway is excited about this. And she says, listen, Reg, if we're going to attempt this, you will need access to areas without holo emitters. And Reg says, I have just the solution. And of course, we now go into sick bay where the doctor is handing over his mobile emitter to Reg.
I want to say with Janeway going, you're going to need access to parts of the ship. You know, you can't normally travel. I immediately thought,
red flag.
This is suspicious. If you have to let this hologram do things that he's not supposed to be, you know, normally be doing, maybe you should run some security checks on him first. I just felt like, and that's globally, I felt like Janeway acted very much out of character. Taking risks in ways that, and I have a solve for this later when we talk about a missing scene and our bonus material. And I have a solve for how I think this could have been fixed beautifully.
Okay.
And tied it back more to our characters. But anyway, we'll talk about that in the
bonus material. I'm going to defend Janeway. I'm going to defend Janeway because I'm just going to say we have been receiving this monthly mail grab, you know, this transmission on a regular basis. Who
except
is
last
going to,
month?
Except last month. And he explains it. He says, well, they tried to send an unabridged version of my hologram, but that totally degraded the transmission where it didn't come through. And so now this is the abridged version of my hologram. And so he explained it pretty clearly. And I don't think Janeway has any suspicion about this because it is part of the regular monthly thing, except for last month, not receiving that message. Right. So I don't think that her spidey senses are tingling.
What did Ronald Reagan say? He said, trust, but verify. Back in the old Soviet Union days. I feel like Janeway could have trusted, but she didn't do much verifying.
No, there is no verification. So, you have a valid point there.
Yeah.
Valid point.
Anyway.
All right. I love the scene in sick bay when at the end of that scene
he's
like, I'd really like to get
chasing
to know
him out.
Yeah. And then he's like, yes, if I have time, I'll be back.
He's got a hologram friend.
Yes.
He's got like a hologram friend finally. Yes.
But as the doors of sick bay are closing, his little Bob's little face is sticking out kind of askew. And he's
you know where to find me.
And I just thought that the way he played that was very funny and very true to who the doctor is at this point, you know, in the series.
Yeah.
And really, he did a really good job. It was a very quick scene, but I really loved what Robert Picardo did in that scene.
Yeah.
1,000%.
I agree. But basically, in that scene, he gives Reg, the hologram, his mobile emitter. So now the doctor's stuck in sick bay, but Reg can move everywhere.
Anywhere he wants to. Yeah.
We go to the briefing room and Reg is laying out his whole plan for what's going to happen. It's a very funny, I love his performance in this. It's just dramatic and it's like, you know, he's taking charge. Reg is hilarious.
He's so funny. Seven does suggest using Borg technology to help out with this plan that's about to happen. But yeah, Reg in that monologue he goes into talking about the miracle ship and everything. It's just, it's sort of like the speech in Henry V, like, you know, just let's get the troops on board here and get everyone excited about what we're about to do. So, yeah.
I did notice that I was playing very skeptical in this scene.
Yes, you did. That's what you played the entire episode. So understandable. Yes. Yep.
I played very skeptical. I love that Neelix doesn't get an assignment. He's like raising his hand like, hey, can I help? Can I have an assignment? And Reg says, well, the crew's going to be working super hard. They're going to need an experienced morale officer. And then Neelix is, you can count on me.
Yeah.
I just love.
I do.
It was a fun scene.
Yeah, fun scene with Neelix. The briefing room session ends, and now we're in the corridor. And Tom is basically playing the skeptic. He's telling Harry to temper his expectations. Mm-hmm. Don't, you know, every time we try to find a shortcut before this,
it blows up in our faces.
And I just love how I'm, you know, I bought into Reg Barkley entirely. I'm sitting spouting out the miracle ship, you know, I'm shocked that they didn't reshoot that scene, because the emotion that I put in that line, you know, typically when we're a little bit too excited about something, that's when we get that little memo is like, no, that's too much emotion. So I'm glad that got that was left in.
I liked it. The one thing I'll say is I'm sure we shot both of these walking hallway scenes back to back.
Yeah.
I'm sure we did. They scheduled it. So we probably shot that earlier scene first.
Yes.
And then shot this one right after, because it's the same hallway, the same walking coverage. So I did think about that. But
I like how Alan left it. Like, he let us kind of go off screen and with that final line, you know, just his blocking. I enjoyed it. My slight annoyance with you. I think we played that really well, you know, as that interaction between us.
I will say, when you bring up Alan Craker, and all the fans know this, Alan is one of my favorite directors.
Yes.
I think he does some of the most interesting blocking and the way he shoots the show. Mm-hmm. But this one doesn't seem like top game Alan Craker to me, I'll be honest.
Mm.
This one seems a little bit more just typical. And I was surprised at that. I kept looking at some of these scenes and just thinking, wow, usually Alan would do something more, just a little more. And there was not a lot of more in this for him. So I still love him. I still think he's an awesome director. I just wouldn't call this his best episode, in my opinion.
And as human beings, we're all allowed one episode or one job that we didn't do our best work in.
Yeah.
So, I'm okay with it. Still.
Totally. Yeah. It's still a great episode. I really enjoyed it. But I just, when you mentioned his name, I wanted to say
bring that up.
That was my takeaway is
But I mean, I can see what you're saying. I can see what you're saying, because when I was watching the show, I kept missing who the director was. I kept not seeing the credit. So when you, my first time learning that it was Craker was you saying it was Craker in this recording. Yes. Cause I didn't even see it. And I was a little bit shocked. I was like, oh, really? Because it didn't seem like our typical Alan Craker episode. So you're right about that. But that could have been any number of things, you know? And typically, when we don't put in our best work as actors and directors, I believe it has something to do with our personal lives. And, you know, who knows what was going on in Alan's life at the time. So, you don't know.
Yeah.
All right. So now we're in Astrometrics.
Yep.
And Seven is showing Reg her proposed Borg tech upgrades. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, this scene kind of rambles on to the point where finally Reg tells her that, you know, everyone is the most excited to see you. an ex-Borg who escaped the collective. It gives hope to every person who's had a loved one who has been assimilated by the Borg. So this is the whole, you know, rah-rah, you're gonna be the most popular person on when you return home, and you have to be involved in the parties and the parades, and then this. There's gonna be a lot of hoopla. And at the end, Seven sort of resigns herself to say that, yes, I will join in on the hoopla. Is what she
said. And it does make sense in retrospect that Reg is pumping her up the most.
Yes.
Because the Ferengi want her. They don't care about anybody else.
Right. So in reality, kind of what he's saying, yes, you are the most popular with the Ferengi is what you are.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. We only care about you.
Everyone else is nothing to us.
Now we go to Starfleet headquarters for the first time.
The Pathfinder lab.
We're at the Pathfinder lab, the Pathfinder project at Starfleet headquarters. And we see the real Reg Barkley working here. And he says in this scene that neither of his last two attempts have worked to get the Barkley hologram through. And I was like, wait, what? Because he's there. So for the first time, we start going, wait a minute. And I also love that Reginald Barkley was very different. The way that Dwight played the real Reginald Barkley, the sort of nervous, neurotic, not so much confidence, totally different than the Reg Barkley on Voyager, who's Mr. Smooth. It was just
Hollow Reg. Hollow Reg.
Yeah, Hollow Reg is very different, and great performance by Dwight. But he does go up on the monitor and he says, look where the data stream ended in the same exact spot both times.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't find anything out of the ordinary there. So they're just confused. Right. Like, why does it keep stopping right here?
Yeah. And Pete, the boss man, basically says, look, you know, let's just move on from this. It clearly didn't work. Maybe the hologram was too much to transmit. And basically the transmission degraded and it just never got there. So he's chalking it up to just, hey, it just didn't work.
Yeah. And he's chalking it up to like, well, Barkley, you're trying to do something too complicated. Yeah, that's the problem.
That's the issue.
Your fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's keep it simple. Just letters from home next time. Let's not add any holographic matrices to this transmission. Then there's a bit of a passage of time, and now we're still in the Pathfinder lab, but now his boss Pete is giving a tour. Pete Harkins
giving a tour to about a half dozen little kids. like 6-7 year old kids, which is so funny that you're bringing these, you know, first graders through. It's
you didn't get any of their names, any of these little kids that were talking.
I did not. But he asked these kids, Pete asked the kids, what do they know about the races, you know, in the Delta Quadrant?
Yeah.
And the kids, I was shocked. They're like, you know, 6 year olds. And all of a sudden they go, Talaxian.
Yeah, they know it all.
And they know it. I was like, these kids in the future are smart.
They are.
They say, Talaxian, Ocampan. And then you hear Reg from off camera, Dwight Schultz going,
Borg.
And he runs in and scares the kids off. But he thinks that the Borg have intercepted the transmission. And Pete is like, stop, you're losing your, you know, your marbles here. You need a break.
I love when Pete asks him, he says, how much vacation time do you have? And he's like, well, I have a little. Like, how much? 50 or 60 days.
Yes.
He hasn't even used never anything. He never takes nothing. A vacation.
And so Pete says, take a week. Yeah, he's like, take a week. Why don't you go to, I got a friend with a place in Malaysia on
cousins,
the beach.
It's there. Cousin, actually. Cousin's beach house in Malaysia. Yeah. But Reg has somewhere, he's got a place in mind.
Suddenly he's like, wait a minute, I have somewhere else in mind.
Yes.
We go back to Voyager. There's a space flyby.
Yeah.
We're in sick bay and Hollow Reg is with the doctor. And I just made another note. Super cool vibes from Reg. He was just a great contrast from the one that's having a breakdown and needs to go on vacation, right to this one who's so confident. Was great.
This might be his best episode of Star Trek.
I think it is. Yeah, I agree. This is.
I mean, just to show that the complete difference between Hollow Reg and Real Reg is so.
It was. I think it is.
So good. So
and
good.
It's heartbreaking sometimes on the real side.
Yeah.
Super creepy.
Yeah.
It's great.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But in this scene, basically what's happening is the doctor says that the inoculation treatments that the crew are supposed to get to help offset mm-hmm. this radiation, they're not effective enough. And Reg says, well, the inoculations are meant to be used in conjunction with the shield modifications. So this is his reasoning. And the doctor is still very skeptical. And he's like, well, okay, if you say so. And then he starts talking about golf, about how he really wants to be able to play some golf, and maybe he can get that mobile emitter back to play a round or two and then give it back to Reg, Hollow Reg. But Hollow Reg is very quick to basically say, yeah, okay, yeah, maybe, and I'll see you later, and leaves again with mm-hmm. the mobile emitter, mm-hmm. much to the doctor's consternation.
He basically says, yes, if the day goes smoothly, consider it yours, and he leaves.
Right.
And then the doctor's line is, I thought it was mine.
I thought it was mine. Yeah. Love that. Astrometrics. We're in Astrometrics. The transceiver is now repaired, and Reg wants to add a progress report to Janeway's reply back to Lieutenant Barclay at the Pathfinder mm-hmm. lab. And Harry and is it Torres there too? I think Torres is in there too. Yeah.
Yes. It's B'Elanna and Reg working on the response. The transceiver's been repaired.
And Harry too. And Harry's
Harry arrives. And Reg says he wants to add something to the progress report. He lays his pad down on, it looks like a charger. Like, you know, the cell phone chargers where you lay your phone down.
That's what it looked like. Yeah.
That's what it looked like to me. Like they invented that 20 years before we had the contact chargers.
Right.
But they send everything out. We go out to space. We see Voyager for a minute. We go to the Pathfinder. Like
the Midas array, was that was
the Midas array? Yeah.
And then also the Ferengi ship. Are you okay with this sort of? Because remember that episode we reviewed, and it tried to show, you know, the distance between Voyager and Earth, and you were not happy about that.
It was confusing. This was confusing.
This was also confusing. I had the other one. Oh,
yeah, I had to rewatch it. I'm like, okay, we're with Voyager, then it goes to the space shot with the Midas array.
Yeah.
And some probe sort of detaching from it.
Yeah.
And then suddenly we're at a red giant and there's a Ferengi ship nearby. I was just like, where are we? It's okay. I know the intention
watch this. The transmission goes from here to there. And then instead of getting to where it's supposed to go, it's intercepted by the Ferengi. That's what they're trying to show. But it was confusing to you, though?
It was a little confusing. It was a little confusing to me.
Understood.
But anyway, yes, this reply is intercepted by the Ferengi ship, by the Red Giant. Mm-hmm. They started to play it, and they're like, fast forward through this. It was Janeway's message first. They're like, we don't care about this.
This is not important.
And then they get to Reg's additional response. That's what they really want to see.
Yes.
And he basically says, everything's going forward as planned.
Yeah.
And then this photo of Seven appears, which was just, I guess it's like a crew manifest or something, but it was like,
yeah. And one of the Ferengi lackeys says, look at those hands. I'll bet she gives good umaks. So that's our little,
these guys are funny. All these Ferengi were funny.
Yeah. Yeah. But we do learn that they did not estimate the amount of nanoprobes in Seven of Nine's body correctly. There's actually 20% more. There's 3.6 million nanoprobes inside her body.
Which I didn't know that we ever knew that there were that many.
No, we don't know that. But
3.6 million.
We know from nanoprobe. Each nanoprobe will get 6 bars of latinum. 6 times 3.6 million is what they stand to make in latinum off of.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of latinum. A lot.
Yeah.
And they say, too bad she'll be dead when she gets here. So now we know that radiation is pretty much going to kill her as she goes through.
It's going to kill everybody.
It's going to kill everyone. Yeah. No one's
Next, we cut to randomly a crane shot of a beach, like a resort. It was so bizarre. And by the way, it was Leo Carrillo Beach, which is funny because didn't we talk about that in the We talked about Leo Carrillo in Summerland.
Oh, because I asked you. I said, where did you film that? And you said Leo Carrillo.
So bizarre.
That's the exact same place.
It's the same beach that we did Summerland that I directed that we talked about in the intro.
Hey, look at this.
This is where we were.
This is how the universe works, Robbie McNeil. I talk about this in the intro, and it becomes where we end up on this episode. But what I will say is that first establishing shot, the wide shot, there's no sun at all.
No, it was
foggy. It's solely horrible. And then later, all the close-up stuff with Reg and Troy, there's sun everywhere. So obviously,
that's the thing that happens up at Leo Carrillo. We dealt with that on Summerland. I've shot a bunch of stuff up there. Mm-hmm. I shot the OC up there.
Yeah.
We've shot other Star Trek stuff around that beach. So,
and that's also very indicative of Los Angeles, which is early morning, you know, kind of foggy, just misty, smoggy. And then as the day goes on, it clears up and the sun comes out. That's pretty much what happened there too.
Yeah. It was a weird alien resort. The bathing suits were bizarre. Usual. I felt for those poor extras.
The alien guy looked good. The guy holding the drinks, with the full, you know, he had full application of makeup across his entire body. I thought he looked good.
Yeah, he looked pretty good. Eventually we see someone in a straw hat from behind. I'm starting to think this is, you know, Barclay's vacation that he was talking about.
Yeah.
And he approaches Deanna Troi, who is vacationing on this beach. And I want to know, why did they put that crazy blue sunblock on his nose? It was just so weird. Like, wouldn't you think in the future that they would have sunblock that is clear? Like,
if they put the sunblock that we're used to, which is white, right? If they just did the white stuff on his nose, or but just they the chose white blue. Stuff. Yeah.
And it was so perfectly put on by the makeup department. I was like, nobody puts on sunblock that clear.
I'm going to say
it should have been sort of messy and just, I don't know.
This is my feeling. They didn't have the white that they needed. And they had all that blue that they put on that alien waiter. Yeah. They were like, wait, let's use some of the blue we used on him and we'll stick that on Dwight's nose. And I think that's what they ended up doing.
Maybe.
Possibly.
And also, what else was weird is when he comes up and finds Deanna Troi, I did like that Barclay was so paranoid. He had those crazy sunglasses on. Yeah. And then at one point he's like, they might be watching. And he tilts up the sunglasses on the outside and there's another layer of sunglasses underneath. So he had like a double sunglass thing. He was, it was funny to me, but just that one little bit. Comedy with props was funny.
Yeah. There's a lot of talk about basically Troi asked, oh, I remember last time seeing you at the party and you were so
life
happy.
Was good.
Yeah, life was good.
You were dating someone.
LaForge was impressed with your work. You're dating somebody, Leosa. And then everything just kind of hit the fan for his life. But
she says she senses something.
Yes.
Suspicion, she says. Yeah. And, you know, Barclay does reveal that he was recently dumped. And then what's her name? Leola?
Leola Root.
Leola Root? Leosa. Oh, yeah.
Leosa Root.
Leosa Root just dumped him recently. And then he says she disappeared.
Yeah.
And he's paranoid that she may have stolen the hologram.
She's behind the missing. Yeah, she is somehow related to the disappearance of the hologram. That's his belief. That's his suspicion. Yeah. But I'm going to say that I was quite envious of both Marina Sirtis and Dwight Schultz because they got to shoot that beach scene, you know? And I kind of feel like, man, that should have been reserved for the series regulars of Voyager. Why do the guest stars get they ought to get the nice beach scene, and then
that's
have
a beautiful
locked
beach.
On the, I was not happy with that. Yeah, I was bummed.
Or left out Garrett.
I was left out.
Yeah.
Again. It's okay. All right. Exterior space shot of Voyager.
Yes.
Right? Captain's log supplemental. Chat from Janeway there. Then we move into
the mess hall where Barclay is putting on a show, doing impressions of Janeway for the whole crew, and everyone's laughing hysterically.
Yeah.
And I was watching you in the background. You were so jealous that he was doing Janeway even though he wasn't doing them.
Here's the thing, it was looped. It was looped, but I didn't realize because they didn't do a playback of the loop on set.
Yeah.
When we were there in the mess hall, it was Dwight. doing his best impersonation of them in his own voice. And I, and then after the fact, you know, they changed it all. But I, you're right. I was, and they placed me right next to him too. And I was like, no, you were like, you guys are, that's salt in the wound.
Oh, Garrett is so jealous right now.
Well, because that's my thing. My impersonations are my thing forever. And they give it to the guest star.
He's a hologram.
Yeah.
He's literally putting back a recording.
But every time someone has impersonated somebody, the episode that you, didn't you direct the one where the doctor's in Seven's head or something?
Yeah, you do that one.
And the doctor is being Seven is doing the doctor's voice.
Yeah.
And again, I'm just rolling my eyes, sitting in that damn scene again. It's almost like the writers knew. They're like, this is the way that it we're going to just kind of like mess with him.
It would have to be some sci-fi idea, because Harry, as his normal Harry self, I don't believe would do impressions of anybody. I don't believe as a character he would be that like you in real life do impressions, but I don't think Harry would do that. It would have to be some sci-fi concept.
Over
or something like that.
Yeah. And like I said before, I tried to pitch that to them. I was like, listen, let's just have a B storyline where they have a ship-wide talent show. And Harry comes up with his impersonations of the different members of the crew. And I said this to the powers that be on Voyager, and their response was like, nope. So, yeah.
But you do that in your stand-up thing, right? Your show, you do all the impressions. So you get to do it.
I get to do it finally on the main stage 2 decades later. But
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, still a funny scene though. Reg is sitting there talking as Janeway and then later as Tuvok, and everyone's applauding him. And I love when he leaves. He gets called to, I think it's the doctor that calls him. Is that right? At that point,
yes, he's called to go to the holodeck 2. The doctor calls, says, go to the holodeck 2.
Yes,
and right before he does that, he's doing a Tuvok impression. And he, because Tom is very skeptical still that we're going to get home, and so he does a Tuvok impression and he goes to mind meld. And I remember shooting this scene. Now, Dwight Schultz, I love watching his performance in this episode, but he is a bit of a, like, when you're acting in a scene with him, I remember feeling a bit nervous sometimes because he's on edge. Like, you feel that Dwight Schultz performance edge. And when I saw this moment, I remember when he had to come over and put his hand on my head.
Oh, right.
And I remember feeling like, I remember feeling when we filmed it, like, is he going to punch me? Like, he's a bit possessed, Dwight, when he's acting, especially this sort of, he was a little amped up. And I remember that hand like coming over, and I was like, whoa. It just, I don't know that I felt safe, put it that
way. I understand, like, which I know 1000%.
I was a little, and because I had that like PTSD when I saw that. I was like, oh yeah, I remember when his hand kept coming over and like. Because,
so everyone.
I could just feel his energy through his fingers. Yeah. Like,
so just to elaborate, as to what Robbie is trying to tell everybody here is, as actors, I would say 99% of the other actors we work with, we understand where they're coming from. They've done their homework. They've done their preparation. They're in the scene with you and they're interacting with you. But there is that 1% of actor that they are so into their character, and it's like, you don't know. It's almost like they're a live wire. You don't know what's going to happen. Like, is this live wire going to turn on you? Will you get shocked by it? Will you just get to watch the festivities? And so, yes, there's always that one actor that we've all acted with where we're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going to happen.
What are they going to do?
Is he going to hit me? Yes. So you felt
that's
that.
How I felt. And then at the end, after that, he gets called, like you said, to the holodeck.
Yeah.
And he leaps over the table and leaps.
He does this little jumpy hoppy thing, which I love. Yeah. And again,
it was great.
No one other than Dwight Schultz would have come up with that type of blocking. And he did it, you know, and it was so characteristic.
But it was that
of him.
Sort of big, you know, out of control is probably not the right word.
No, that's not what no, you're trying to say unpredictable behavior. Unpredictable behavior. You have no idea what he's going to do next, right? Yeah. Which makes for good television, right? When you watch a
great,
character like
great
that,
to watch, but
you were mesmerized.
When his hand's flying at my face over and over, I remember feeling like, I don't know what he's going to do. Anyway, all right. So he leaps out of the room. We go into the holodeck.
Yeah.
And the doctor is dressed in like vintage golf wear.
I had no clue that the doctor was so obsessed with golf in this stretch of 3 or 4 episodes. And now my business brain is moving. I'm like, oh my gosh, this would be kind of cool if like it was Bob Picardo, Robbie McNeil, and myself doing a show on Golf Channel where we're kind of like the big break. We're doing challenges and stuff, or we're being taught. Maybe we're trying to lower our score, you know, our mm-hmm. make our golf game better. I mean, I think that would be super cool.
I don't know if Bob Picardo really is into golf. I don't think he is.
But see, that's what would be amazing, though. If he is not in golf, to take him from absolute scratch and teach him the basics of it. You know what I'm saying? It'd be amazing. Maybe. It'd be a lot of fun.
As long as he wears that outfit. That was a great outfit.
Okay.
But this is an interesting scene because Reg comes in and there's the doctor saying, hey, I'm dressed for golf. Let's go do it.
Because they had plans already, right? Because the doctor says, I was starting to think that you'd forgotten our tea time. So there was a plan to go golfing. But that's when Reg says, hey, sorry, I've already got plans with 7 of 9. She's going to teach me Caddiscott.
Yeah.
And the doctor's like, wait a minute. When I gave you my mobile emitter, it was about official business, not, you know, to learn Caddiscott. And that's when Reg goes, oh, and golf is important. And he grabs his golf club, his driver.
He got really angry.
Ooh, he got really, the dark side turned all of a sudden. It was like, what the heck is going on here?
But this is a moment where I felt like on the Voyager side of the story, people should have started getting much more suspicious.
Oh, yeah.
And this is where I think the missed opportunity of the missing scenes or parts that I'll talk about in our bonus material.
Sure.
Should have started. This is where I think there was an opportunity, a missed opportunity for the Voyager side of things. But anyway, yes, he kind of lashes out, but then recovers and heads off to go learn Caddiscott with 7. And then we go back down to Starfleet or to the Pathfinder lab. And they're questioning Leosa.
Yeah.
Who is.
I think we're in your dad's office at this point. So.
Yeah, I couldn't tell because they're in the office and then maybe step out, but then later they're right back at the Pathfinder.
Yeah, it's a little confusing. Where we were. It's a little confusing.
But yes, Admiral Paris is questioning her. We learn she is a Dabo girl, not a teacher, like she told Barclay.
Yeah.
We're starting to see that she's not what Barclay thought she was.
No.
And even Admiral Paris says he thinks that she helped the Ferengi somehow. And she goes, no, I didn't leave because of the Ferengi. I left because Reg was boring. He is heartbroken. She doesn't admit any wrongdoing whatsoever. And Troy says, give me a chance. Can I talk to her myself privately?
Yeah.
And basically says, I'm an empath. I know you're lying. Tell me the truth. And she's like, I'm not going to tell you anything. Yep. And Deanna basically blackmails her and says, well, I could have you held indefinitely for a psych evaluation. If you want to, you think I'm bluffing, try me.
Yeah. And but before that happens, she dismisses Admiral Paris, well, not dismisses, but asks Admiral Paris for some, alone time.
Yeah. Talks to her alone.
Yeah.
And then basically says, I know you're lying. Tell me the truth or I'll stick you in a psych ward indefinitely. Right. We cut outside. And after this threat, Troy has found out that she was employed by a Ferengi named Nunk.
Yeah.
And she says she did steal the hologram twice and that Nunk has that hologram on his ship now, basically. So Troy has gotten this information out of Leosa.
I do love when Harkins goes Nunk and then Leosa goes she's about to say my boyfriend, but she went employer. So
she was really good, that actor.
She did a good job.
Great job. And we go to the Pathfinder lab. We see that we have located Nunk's ship. Pete says there it is, says it has been near this star, this red giant, for the last 43 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And Admiral Paris says, well, there must be something valuable there. They wouldn't be hanging out there.
Yeah.
So the Admiral says, contact the USS Carolina and see if they can swing over there and see what's up.
Yeah.
But it's
going to
take
some time. They're only 0.7
light
years away.
Yeah.
Maximum warp, 2 hours, they can get there.
Barclay does have a moment with Leosa when he says,
was everything between us a lie?
Yeah. Was it all fake?
Yeah.
And she says, well, I got money goes, out of this deal.
The set. Her line was so sad. She goes, "Not everything, just the parts where I expressed affection for you."
That's what
so
it was,
and that's so sad. Like every time she said, "I love you," or "I," you know, "you're the best," she meant none of it at all.
Yeah,
yeah, it's painful. He does ask her, like, "Well, what's a broken heart worth these days?" And she says,
"Yes,
10%." And he's like, 10% of what? And Leosa says, profits from the nanoprobe. So this is when he realizes.
Yeah.
They're after 7 of 9. This is the whole point. Yeah. So that's a really important
10% of the value of the Borg nanoprobes, yeah, which are worth 2 billion times their weight in latinum.
That's right.
Wow. So now we have a space flyby. Janeway is talking to the doctor. The doctor wants to deactivate. He's suspicious. And
yeah, he wants a diagnostic run on. On the program of HoloReg.
Because he says this HoloReg has been rude and careless, and those are two traits that the real Barclay does not have.
Exactly.
So he's suspicious. Next, we go to Astrometrics. Seven is there working with Reg, and Janeway comes into Astrometrics and talks to HoloReg and tries to convince him to undergo this diagnostic. She says, how long has your program been running?
Yeah,
without a break. And
she also dismisses Seven. She wants to talk to him alone. So,
yeah, that's right. But she basically says, look, you've been running nonstop since you got to the Delta Quadrant. We just need to, you know, run a few diagnostics, make sure you're running at tip top shape. And Reg asks, HoloReg says, did the doctor ask for this? And she says, well, yes, in fact, he did. And he goes, I thought so. And he goes, well, if the doctor's ordering a diagnostic, an exam, who am I to argue, or something like that?
Yeah.
So he kind of handles the suspicion very well.
He does.
We go back down to the Pathfinder lab at night. And I love that nighttime shot of the building outside.
That was cool. That exterior building shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Barclay is working very hard. He's sitting with his head in his hands, off in a corner. And Troy comes over and she's like, what are you hiding from? Why are you over here?
Yeah.
And Barclay says he's trying to figure out how to foil the Ferengi's plans.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time, Troy knows what Barclay believes the Ferengi's were trying to do. And she's like, let's tell your commanders. And Barclay says, no, I need some time to identify more details and really prove it. If I tell them now, you know, they're not going to believe me. So just keep this between us.
Yeah. And even Troy thinks, like, what do they want with assimilation technology? And Barclay's like, well, it can be used for a lot of things, slowing down the aging process, reanimating necrotic tissue. So there's a lot of benefits that these little nanoprobes can do other than just assimilate people.
We go to the back to Voyager. We're on the holodeck this time. Reg is sort of fritzing, getting his diagnostic. He's getting his holo shower, so to speak.
He starts the scene by saying, that tickles, Lieutenant.
It was very funny.
He's getting tickled by it.
Yeah. B'Elanna's there running the diagnostic. Janeway's there. The doctor comes by.
Yeah.
Ultimately, they run the diagnostic. They can't really find anything. Nothing. Reg apologizes to the doctor. So now you're starting to think, oh, man, he dodged that bullet and he's... Yeah. Totally charming.
Well, the doctor apologized first, and then Reg says, well, but I owe you an apology.
Yeah,
so he's charming the doctor again. Yeah.
Friends, he says, and they shake hands. I was just like, no, don't trust him.
Yeah.
We go back to the Ferengi ship. They say it's time to initiate the geodesic pulse.
Mm-hmm.
Nunk orders them to start it up. And
you like that graphic? You like those graphics?
Yeah,
the pulse starting.
Yeah, okay. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Go out to space. We see that giant phaser beam, 3-into-1, the red giant sort of, it looks like they're drilling a hole into this red giant.
Almost. It does. Yeah.
Uh-huh. We go back to the Starfleet Pathfinder lab.
Yeah.
And Paris sees an alert and they see this hole being dug into the thing. They can see that on their sensors. And Admiral Paris is like, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Barclay realizes, aha, it's a geodesic fold. That's what they're trying to do. Suddenly he puts it all together.
Nanoprobes. Yeah.
That's how they're going to get the nanoprobes. Then we go back to the Voyager bridge. So all this is happening simultaneously.
Right.
The Voyager bridge, we see the other side of this geodesic fold where Voyager is. Paris says 2 million kilometers in closing. Janeway orders this advanced impulse online. Mm-hmm. And so it feels like we're going to fly into this thing and all be dead in a minute. But we cut to Astrometrics and there's an alert. And Seven suddenly discovers that three different types of radiation that were not accounted for in this plan that Hollow Reg brought up.
Yeah.
And she's starting to doubt that these shield modifications will protect the crew. And Barclay tries to, you know, cover and say they'll work in combination with the inoculation. So he's sort of playing the inoculations against, you know, the shields again.
Right.
And she calls the bridge to voice her concern. And suddenly Reg reaches his hand out, Hollow Reg.
Yeah.
Reaches it and goes into her head.
Yeah, which fritzes. And he just knocks her unconscious.
Knocks her unconscious. I don't know how she survived that. Like, it's a horror movie moment.
Yeah. Yes, her head was electrocuted.
Hand goes into her
side of her
head. Yeah, I don't know how there was Seven of Nine anymore. Like if that happens, and by the way, she just laid there for a while, like didn't get treatment immediately.
No, so I don't clearly feel like brain damage at this point. Yes, I think right.
I would think.
But
so.
Janeway calls back and says, "What is it, Seven?" And then Reg, in a perfect Seven of Nine voice, says, "There was a problem, Captain, but I've corrected it." So she is now, well, Reg is now doing the voice of Seven because he can. He's done everyone's voices. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's great that they sort of set that up earlier in the comedy scene. Yes. That was well structured.
Yes, it was.
We go back to the Pathfinder project. They figured out that Voyager's heading towards this geodesic fold.
Yeah.
And Admiral Paris says, "Why are they doing this? Janeway would never do that." So again, even Admiral Paris thinks it's out of character. Just like me. He's on Team Robbie on this one. I felt like Janeway just did not verify at all. Anyway, Reg thinks the Ferengi altered his program. He could have even taken over the entire ship.
Yeah.
Obviously, they did alter him because he's Mr. Smooth Con Man.
Reg says, like, maybe the Carolina can close the fold. And Admiral Paris says the Carolina isn't equipped to do that. So then, you know, more conversation goes back and forth. Can we get a message to Voyager? Not with the geodesic fold. You can't get through that. So there's some issues. We have some hurdles to overcome. We don't know what's going
on. It doesn't look good for us to survive this.
No.
We go back to the Ferengi ship.
Yeah. They're talking about what they're going to buy. They're like,
oh my God, this was a funny scene. Yes.
They're gonna buy their own starship with multi-phasic shielding and a gold pressed latinum hull. So we're talking about the entire hull
bling,
of the ship.
Really bling.
Be made of latinum. I'm like, oh my God.
And then one of them says, "What about a fleet of casino ships?" And
his line is, "We'll have enough left over after building our own starship to buy a fleet of casino ships." So again, they're gonna be rich beyond rich.
And I love that Nunk, I think it's Nunk, says at the end, "What about lobe enlargements?" so he's imagining cosmetic surgery for bigger lobes. And suddenly they're hailed as they're fantasizing about all this stuff. They're hailed through and it's coming through the fold, they say.
Yeah, which they're a little shocked by. They're like, huh?
Is this happening? And it's Reg.
Yeah.
And then Reg comes on the screen. They think it's Hollow Reg there.
Yeah.
And he says, "You've got to close the fold immediately."
Yeah.
I noticed that it's not the Smooth Con Man Reg. It definitely, Dwight played a perfect mixture of like the neurotic Barclay, the real Barclay, and the con man that he's trying to impersonate here.
Yeah.
But anyway, on screen, Reg says, Hollow Reg, they think, says to them that Janeway has found out the whole plan and you've got to shut this down.
Yeah.
And we cut to...
she's furious. She said she was going to kill anyone who was behind this. And so,
We cut over and see that it's the real Barclay doing this impersonation with Admiral Paris.
Right.
And
Troy off the
Troy
side.
Troy is there.
They're watching. Yeah. And the background, it's they're in the holodeck. So
looks like they're in engineering.
Yeah. With a warp core behind them. So,
But he's telling the Ferengi that Janeway is furious and she's going to hunt them down and kill them.
Yeah, because they were going to warp out of there. They say, "Okay, we'll shut down the fold and we'll get out of here." They said, "We're just going to get out of here, period." And he's like, no, I need you to shut down.
You don't know what kind of weapons they have, too. Yeah. They've got technology you don't even understand.
You can't hide from them.
You can't hide from her
no.
because she has Borg interquadrantial warp drives. He's making up things.
Herogen hunting sensors
and Vidian phase torpedoes.
Torpedoes, yeah.
So he's making up all this stuff to terrify them, and it works.
Yeah, and he says your only hope is to close the fold. So that's his whole point. Just close the darn fold. And they do. They actually listen to this, and they start closing the fold. We jump back to the bridge, and Kim says, well, something's wrong, Captain. And Holler Reg, astrometrics the bridge. Why are we stopping? And Janeway's like, well, the fold's collapsing, Reg. We didn't make it in time. So it seems like, you know, his plan's not going to work. It's not going to happen. But he does say, well, it's not too late. If we remodulate the shields, like, it can still happen. And Janeway's like, you know, we appreciate this, but we just can't risk it. You did all that you could. And that's when Kim says, hey, someone just initiated a site-to-site transport. It's Seven and Reg. They've beamed to an escape pod. And of course, Janeway is trying to call Seven. Seven doesn't respond. And Janeway says, put a tractor beam on it. Too much interference. So Chakotay says, can you get a transporter lock? And then we kind of get out of that scene. So now we leave it up to the viewer to know whether, did it happen? Did it not happen? We don't know.
I did like the outside that when the escape pod sort of exits Voyager's hull, like that door opened up and it popped out of the side. I thought that was a cool shot.
It was a cool shot. Yeah.
But we don't,
Chakotay says, try to get a
lock and beam them out.
Yeah.
So we don't know what happens. We go to the Ferengi ship and sensors pick up this escape pod.
Right.
And the Ferengi don't know what's happening. They don't know what's
says
coming
a phage
through.
Torpedo, like a Vidian phage torpedo.
Phage torpedo, brace for impact, and they duck out
they
of the
frame. They all hide. It's just like that's going to do anything.
I know. Brace for impact, they duck down. Very funny. And then they pick up this escape pod, and the Ferengi are excited.
They don't pick it up. It runs into them. It just hits them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
They think that Hollow Reg has sent them Seven, basically.
The Borg, they think maybe he sent it through. Yeah. They scan the pod and pick up nothing on board. So they realize there's nothing, which means...
great ending lines. Nothing. No Borg corpse. No nanoprobes. And Nunk goes, no profit. That was the end of that scene.
That's funny. We go to space. We have a Captain's Log supplemental, 7 of 9. Has recovered from her injuries, and Reg has been deactivated. Mm. Until we finish analyzing his program, his motivations remain a mystery. And we go to the mess hall. There's Torres and Paris trying to cheer up Harry. It's with a slice of pie in front of him.
Was that key lime pie, maybe?
I thought it was apple pie with some whipped cream or ice cream or something.
But it was green. The filling. Oh. But he's playing with this food. He's kind of hitting
He's playing with it. He doesn't want to eat his pie.
Yeah.
And he said it would taste better in San Francisco. Clearly bummed out that they didn't get back home.
Man, I should have known this was Doherty. Because look at the lines right here, right? And I say, because your line is, as I'm poking it, you're like making first contact with a new life form. Like, that's so Doherty to me.
Yeah.
I should have known that.
But then Tom says something about, well, didn't you hear that... He tries to cheer him up, and he makes up this story that there's another way we're going to get home next week, maybe even. And Harry's like, no, you're lying. He doesn't believe him.
Well, Torres jumps on the bandwagon with you, right?
Yeah, she jumps on the bandwagon. She's like, no, he's telling the truth.
He's telling the truth.
And then finally, Harry's like, really?
Yeah, Harry even says, I'm not that gullible. And Torres says, it's true. I was there. The captain doesn't want us to get, you know, our hopes up. But personally, I think we'll be home by the end of the week. And that's when Harry does get gullible and says, serious? And I do like my change of my face. I went from like totally skeptical to like, oh, my God, it's real. And then Torres says, you were right about him. And it's jokes on Harry.
It was fun to see B'Elanna getting in on some.
Yeah, she typically doesn't mischief. Do that. So it's, I like that.
Yeah, she doesn't usually play the mischief card.
No.
Yeah, Tom's wearing off.
You're rubbing off on her.
I am. Back in San Francisco, Barclay is working on adding more security features to his his hologram, and Troy. He adds, you know, high security level features. Troy steps in and then Barclay says something like, identify yourself. Something.
But the way he says it, it's very aggressive.
Very aggressive.
It's like,
very
identify
aggressive.
Yourself. Yeah. and his hologram, actually.
Yeah. Troy's like, what is going on? He explains, I'm trying to make him more secure. But then she invites Reg to go on a double date. And I love when he says, I don't want to be a third in a cell.
Yeah. Again, Robert Doherty, third in a cell. Good job.
Very cute. God. But she goes, no, there's a friend of Will Riker, and it's a teacher named Merrill.
Yeah. Yes. Like as in Merrill Schindler.
Oh, yeah. Could be.
Yeah. Mary Howard Merrill Schindler. There we go. Oh. That's what I thought it was. So
teacher named Merrill. And I love how Troy goes, this time it's a real
teacher. She's a real teacher.
He's a real teacher.
It's not a Davo girl.
Ultimately, you know, he doesn't really want to go, but then Troy convinces him to get out of the office and get back into life again.
Yeah.
And he agrees. So happy ending for Reg. He's going to get back out there into life.
Definitely. Okay. So
there you go.
What is your takeaway? Do you have a lesson?
My lesson or theme is cheaters never prosper. It's the old it's the old adage. Cheaters never prosper. Brangy tried to cheat everybody and it just didn't work out. You know, I think that's the lesson for me.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, my lesson is never loan out your mobile emitter to another hologram.
Never.
Bad. Ever. Bad.
Yes. Agreed.
All right. All right. So that's our episode.
What about the rating?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. So my rating of this episode, I'm going to give it a 8.2. So pretty high.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm going to go up a little higher.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
I had fun with it. I really did. I agree
with you. I enjoyed this episode. And even though there's a lot of holes, even though, as I said before, I don't think it's Alan Craker's best directing.
Yeah.
It's fine. And I just was entertained.
Okay.
So the flaws took it down for me a bit. And the lack of our entire cast being deeply involved, that took it down a little bit. But it still, for me, was a 7.5.
Okay.
Pretty good. You know,
that's a good rating. That's a good rating. Yeah. What's the Admiral and Captain's group rating?
The Admiral and Captain's average rating is 6.8.
Oh, man.
So I went quite a bit higher.
We went higher. See, I thought you were going to say 6. I thought because of the fact that this wasn't Alan's greatest directorial job, I thought you were going to go 6 point something. So
yeah, no, I thought 7.5.
Pumped it up a little more.
I might have even gone to an 8 because I was just entertained.
Yeah, it was an entertaining episode.
Dwight's and best episode.
Really, it was Dwight Schultz's. Yeah, you know, not his swan song, but his. This is the if I was him, this is the episode that I would show people. Like, look, check out what I've done in this episode.
Oh yeah,
which really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job. All right, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to our recap and discussion of Inside Man. Join Robbie and I next week when we tackle the episode Body and Soul.
Oh.
What was that reaction?
We'll see. That's next week.
Oh, yeah, that is next week.
Okay. All right.
All right. Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material.